See you full of sorrow. Want to give you joy. Say joy. Say joy. Want to do it. I say, want to do it. Come on and give God praise. But what I like about the scripture is that they took action. After she prayed, didn't say she told Elkanah. She didn't tell her husband what she did. It was between her and God. Sometimes you don't have to tell people that I prayed about it. But wait about 9 months. Then Elkanah saw what she prayed about. Elkanah saw that she prayed about a son. After all these years, she ain't have no children. Can you imagine Penina? All these years teasing her. All these years making her. And all of a sudden, she see her looking at her. She say, look like she gaining weight. Ha, ha, ha. Look like you're getting fat. Ha, ha. But what Penina didn't know is that I'm getting fat for a reason. I'm not getting fat because I prayed. Anybody here say, I'm getting fat. It's all right to be fat because I prayed. I'm growing.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Could find nobody greater than you. How many of you believe that's real today? Hallelujah. God bless you, Mill Cores, Brother James McCall. Yes, indeed. Stand to your feet. Amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh this day for another wonderful opportunity to hear your word, to receive instruction from you. God, we thank you for these your people. We thank you for how you have already chosen to speak to us and share with us your word this day. Now meet us where we are, then lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, recorded of these words. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. as Jeremiah is sharing with us the understanding of how God desires us to know him, to seek for him, to search for him, that his peace might rest upon our lives. It's important to understand that this challenge today is as relevant as it was when Jeremiah spoke it to the children of Israel. While historically he was speaking to them pragmatically, God's word today is speaking to us. Seeking God, seeking God, and ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There are three things I want us to look at in this verse because I think it's helpful to all of us, especially as we seek a deeper fellowship, a more intimate relationship with God. There are just some things that we must do in order to have the kind of fellowship God wants us to have with him. First of all, let's look at the attitude in seeking for him. The attitude. What's in the attitude? He says, and ye shall seek me. The first thing is, you must be sincere in your seeking. Sincere in your seeking. If there's anything you're seeking for and you're not truly sincere about seeking for it, you'll soon give up. It's important to understand that God wants us to seek him and feel him speaking to us, so much so that we are drawn to him, that we are moved by that inner voice, by our spirit connecting with God's spirit. And my brothers and sisters, it's clear because God's word is clear. And God wants to have fellowship with us. God didn't just create us for as another creation for the dressing and the dominion of earth. He created us so that we would have intimate fellowship with him as the creator. We were made in God's image and in God's likeness. But here is the thing. God wanted us because he's placed a vacuum in all of us that nothing could fill but him. And so there is a longing, there is a restlessness, there is a peacelessness on the inside of us when we have not been in fellowship with God. That there is something there that nothing and no one else can feel. And we'll hear God speaking to us through his word. We'll hear him speaking through the written word. We'll hear him speaking through songs. But what we're supposed to recognize is the fact that God desires to be in fellowship with us just as we should desire to be in fellowship with him. So the first thing you need to know is that God often moves to us and through us in various ways to get our attention, even to pray, to put us in a place where our hearts will desire him more. So we must be sincere in seeking. But not only must we be sincere in seeking, but we must be sanctified in seeking. See, you got to make up your mind. You just got to put some things on the side. You're going to put God first, and your whole purpose and whole focus is to meet God in an intimate place. And so that means you've got to be set aside for the searching, for the seeking. You've got to have your mind and your attitude right about seeking God. You can't let everything and everybody steal your attention away. Take the time that you've allotted away from God. You've got to prioritize him in such a way that you have sanctified your search for God, so much so that you don't allow the enemy to distract you with all of the side attractions and issues that many times never allow you to get back on track while seeking God. And then thirdly, you got to have the attitude of surrender when you're seeking God. Why? Because the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you when you do what? Surrender all of your searches to nobody but God. But seek ye first. When you put God in his place, he'll put everything else in its place. And so you've got to have a surrendered search for God, a seeking for God. You've got to know, listen, I have put him on the top shelf. Yes. I put him in the number one position. I know stuff come up and it will come up. But if I keep him where he ought to be, he'll make everything else work out all right. And so you must really have the right attitude for seeking God. But I want you to see something, because when he says, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall seek me, he's trying to get you to have an attitude adjustment. And ye shall. You may not do it today, but you shall. All right. If you don't do it because you're blessed, you'll do it because you're cursed. You shall. All right. And it's up to you to have the right attitude to go before God, to seek God, to call upon God. And ye shall seek me. Isn't it amazing how sometimes when God blesses our lives and everything is going well, we hardly have time to spend with God. We really have little time to fellowship with God, read the Word of God, be in worship with God. But let all Hades break loose. Let your world start crumbling. Man, you spend hours in the Word, listening to gospel music, looking at gospel television shows, on and on. You see God in desperate ways trying to find Him. Listen, God doesn't always want you to be in a crisis before you call on Him. God wants to be invited to your celebration. Unlike the man in Luke's gospel, chapter 12, when he had been so blessed and tore down his small barns and built big barns and filled them up and then decided to throw a party and invite nobody but himself.
All right.
And when it was well with his soul and he had nothing else to do, he still didn't invite God to his celebration.
All right.
But God crashed the party.
All right.
And let him know that all that you have is because of me, including your soul. So this night your soul shall be required of you. My question to you then is, who shall these things then be for? You see, God wants you to know he can get your attention one way or the other. But it behooves us to let him have our attention when things are well, just as well as when things aren't. So look at the attitude again, and ye shall seek me. But let's move from the attitude to the answer. Here's the answer, and find me, and find me. Here's the answer. If you seek him, he says, you'll find me. Now, the only reason why we don't find God is we don't seek God. And see, sometimes we miss it because what we don't understand is God is waiting to be discovered by you. He already knows you, know everything there is to know about you, know where you are, what you're doing, how you're acting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But how much do you really know about God? You see, the way that you really see God, well, how do I see God, preacher? I'm glad you asked that, through his word and through his spirit. You don't need to look all around the world and look for this and look for that. You'll find him and discover him in these places. But to get a good glimpse of him, a real glimpse of him, to understand the essence of him, it's only going to happen through his word and through his spirit. And so he says, you'll find me. That's a promise. And ye will find me. Shall can be added to this, because he says, and find me. You shall find God if you seek him. But your attitude has to be right. If your attitude is not right, he's not going to let you discover him.
Right.
You can't treat God like you treat folk.
All right.
Or objects or ideals or things of this world. You got to treat God like you know who he is. And in other words, when you look for him, you got to know who you're looking for.
All right.
You got to know that when you find him, there's going to be a great discovery. That must be an anticipation for the promise that I am going to find God on a whole new level. Listen to this. He's talking to his own people. He's not talking to lost folk.
All right.
He's talking to those who already belong to him. So why does he say this? Because when we reach a certain level in God and then we mature, God expects us to come closer. And as we come closer, he reveals more things to us. And then he embraces us and share more intimate things with us. But listen, there are just some things he's not going to holler out to you way in the back of the room. He's going to tell you, come closer. And when you seek him, he promises that you shall find him and do some great and wonderful things. Jeremiah 33 and 3 makes it clear that God wants to do some great and mighty things through you. But he's not going to do it through you being afar from him. And so there's something else in the answer, and find me. Again, we've got to pray. Prayer is the most intimate communication with God. Look, Matthew 7 through 9 teaches us that we must ask, seek, and knock. So when we pray to God, our praying must be with an attitude of a focused, fixed look for God. God, I have not discovered you the way that I desire to discover you. I've not gotten as close as I want to get to you yet. I'm not at that place where I really feel you want me to be or I want to be. You're praying, so you're asking him to reveal himself. When you ask him to reveal himself, then you've got to continue seeking him. Ask, then seek. And then listen to this. Sometimes the process goes on until you have to knock. If you ask, you're praying then. When you're seeking, he's leading you. The door may be closed, but then you knock. Because his spirit is going to lead you to a fullness of his presence. And sometimes there will be locked doors to prevent you from getting in and discouraging you to see how sincere you are about following him. Right. How many of you have gone someplace seeking somebody or seeking something and the door was closed to knock, and you might have knocked one time and they didn't answer and you just went on, got back in your car and left? And what you wanted was behind the closed door. Now listen, they may have been there. They could have been taking a nap and said, Lord, who is this? I don't feel like getting up knocking. I don't know. They're going to stop knocking. Knock one little time. Boom. Pshroom. I knew they wasn't going to be here long. Go back to sleep. But you knock. And you knock. And you. Ding dong, ding dong. Who is this? And then you get up and you go and you open the door because they were persistent in their knocking. They knew you were there and wanted to meet with you. That's how God wants us to be, so focused on him. When we pray, ask, we seek him, he will lead us, guide us. But then when we get to that place, don't stop till we get in. What is the purpose of getting in your car, driving all over town or going wherever you're going to get where you're going and then be turned around because the door is not sitting open waiting for you? Now, you got to go through a little something to really find God. Tell your neighbor, you've got to go through something to really find God. He wants to make sure you really want him when you find him. Listen at this word, and I want us to understand this. Because James 5:16 gives us another helpful holy hint as to the answer. When we seek him, we must have purity. Yeah. Our thoughts must be pure. Our desires must be pure. Our motives must be pure. We must be able to confess our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, and let God know, God, I'm searching and seeking you with a pure heart. Not just because I want stuff from you. All right. Not just because I want you to make a way, open a door, bless me with this, bless me. Lord, I'm seeking you because I want you. Yes. Purity. See, God wants to be discovered by you, but your heart has got to be right. And then when we look at this, we understand that God wants you to know that his desire is that when you find him, that you discover his power. Listen, James 5:17 talks about Elijah was a man just like we are, yet God sent his power to answer Elijah's prayer. When Elijah prayed that there would not be rain for 3 years and 6 months, it did not happen. No rain, no dew. God gave him his power when he sought him. All right. And when he found him, the power came with him. Yeah. You see, what you miss sometimes is you want God's power, but you don't want God's person. That's like folk wanting your money and your stuff, but don't want you. You might let them have that a little while, but sooner or later you say, wait. Something's wrong with this picture. When you desire God, listen, and know that his power comes with him. If you seek and search for God, receive God, everything you have need of comes with God. So you ain't got to beg for this and beg for that and ask for this and ask for that. Just get him. Seek him, search him, get closer to him, and watch everything that's connected with him come to your rescue. That's why Matthew 6:33 again says, all these things shall be added. Why? Because they're a part of him. And when you seek him, they come with him. They show up with him. When he show up, his checkbook show up with him. When he show up, his power show up with him. When he shows up, his healing shows up with him. When he shows up, his deliverance shows up with him. When he shows up, his joy shows up with him. Everything you have need of, my brother, my sister, shows up when God shows up. And so it says, and ye shall find. Listen, the last thing I want you to know is not only the attitude must be right in seeking God, and the answer will come when you seek him, but third, there is the matter of the attention. And look at what it says, because God wants you to know. The last portion of the verse says, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, attention comes up because God is tired of us searching with a half-heartedness, a spirit that is not fully attentive to the searching for God. It's kind of like, I'm going to do it for a little while, but I got other things to do. If he don't show up in this little time that I've allotted for him, then I'm going to move on. I'll check another day, or I'll look in another day in another way. But look at this. It's the tension. Notice here again. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, that gives us something else. The answer is we're going to find him when we pray. But I think you need to understand something else. Just because you pray doesn't mean that he's going to show up the first time.
All right.
So when it talks about, look again, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, it's talking about definite praying. Definite prayer. I'm not just talking about a, Lord, I want to know you. I'm talking about a definite, full, attentive prayer that is based upon the word of God. You see, you pray definitely and decisively as God instructs you to when you know the word. God, get this people, is moved by his word, not what you say about his word. If you want to get God's attention, then you get it by quoting, reciting, rehearsing, repeating his word. And God knows then that you want to talk to him because you have talked to him about what he has talked to you about. See, God knows, listen, in the prayer, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But look at verse 13. That's verse 14. He starts reciting the words that Solomon prayed in chapter 6. Over 1,000 word prayer, and God picked out some cherished, some nuggets out of his prayer to let him know, I heard you praying. But here's what he wanted him to know. Though I've heard you pray, I want you to hear what I say. And so ultimately, your prayer has got to be what God says to really have God's attention, to make sure that you have the attention God wants you to have. and that is stayed on him. And so when we pray prayers, and we pray prayers out of emotion and feelings and so forth, and all that's good, that's all fine. But God is not under warrant to back up those kind of prayers. How many prayers have you prayed like that that are still yet unanswered? I mean, you were sincere when you prayed those. And listen, people, this is the reason why we need to know what the Word of God says about praying, about seeking him, about the things that he desires. Why? Because that's the only guarantee we have that he will do what he says. Somebody, have you ever been talking to somebody and you said something to them and they said, you said such and such a thing? It amazes me some Sundays. And people say, yeah, Pastor, just like you said, such and such and such. I said that? Because that didn't even sound like how I speak. No, it was messed up and tied up, twisted up and tangled up, and that's what they heard. All right. But that ain't what I said. All right. And see, God, listen, is not interested in what you hear. He's interested in what he says. And when you can say, God, you said in your word, he said, what? Hold up here now. And he knows what he said. And a smile, I would imagine, breaks out across his face and says, yes, I did say that. All right. Do you believe that? Yes, God, I believe that. That's why I'm presenting to you the unfallible truth. That's why I'm presenting to you that can never fail. That's why I'm presenting to you when heaven and earth passes away, this will still be here. That's why I'm presenting to you that is important to you, and that is your word. And so when we definitely pray, we must pray the word. Somebody say, pray the word. But not only must we be definite in praying, we must be detained in praying. Listen, Isaiah 40 and 31 says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on. Don't get so anxious. Give God a chance to answer you. Listen, God wants to know that you don't think your prayers are instant prayers and he's a God who has to answer them without you spending time in prayer with him. Listen, if it's communication, if it's conversation, then it means there must be a dialogue. A dialogue means you say what you got to say and you let me say what I've got to say. We're so used to praying monologue prayers where we open up and say, God, this is the day that you made. I thank you so forth, blah, 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 blah. I want this, that, and the other. Amen. Boom. Get up, go on about your business. Well, now you're not really communicating with God, though you may be communicating what you desire, you need, or you want, but that's not communication with God, because you've been rude, you've been inconsiderate, you've been insensitive to wait on God to hear what God has to say. And so sometimes when you pray, learn to take time to wait on God to hear what God has to say. Not only is there detaining in prayer, but there must be a determination in prayer. Listen, you remember when Jacob was wrestling with the angel? He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. See, you got to get to that point where you're sincere and serious with God and praying. See, God knows when you really mean what you're saying. And God knows if you prioritized him, because if he has first place, then everything else has to wait till you're through with him. Come on. And so if that's the case, then that means you've got to develop an attitude where, God, I ain't moving from this place till you give me my answer, till you give me my breakthrough, till you give me my deliverance. Listen, I've cleared my slate. I've cleared my schedule. I ain't going nowhere till I hear from you. Come on. See, God knows you're serious and you're sincere when you pray like that, and you find yourself determined that you're not going to let him go till he bless you. When was the last time you've been that determined about whatever it was you've been seeking God about? You waited on him until you knew he was going to do what he said he's going to do. And see, my brothers and sisters, this is praying and seeking God the biblical way. Not through some fantasy, not through some ideology, but through his word. This is how God is discovered. And see, this is what the devil don't want you to know. Because if you don't know the right path, you'll never find the treasure. You'll never find God. And listen at this last thing I want to say about this, that the praying must be dedicated praying. Listen,